Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the sector warriors and the various quadrant bishops. Good morning to the Duke of All who lives on a mountaintop someplace near the Spice Kingdom. Good morning to the cokeheads and the crackheads and the meth heads and all the folks grumbling and scrambling by, shambling your way back towards apedom. Good morning to all of you, baby. It is October the 16th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc, and it's just after 4:26 a.m., and these are your Zero Hedge headlines as of 4:26 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on the Olympic Peninsula. Trump destroys Bloomberg editor-in-chief, receives standing ovation in Chicago. BMW says EU ban on gasoline cars from 2035 is no longer realistic. I have to stop here. BMW says EU ban on gasoline cars from 2035 is no longer realistic. This is a headline. And I have to say, barring the construction of an Einstein-Rosen bridge between BMW headquarters and some place in god-awful Germany in 2035 before I start pressing my time button. Yeah, I would say banning cars from the year 2035 is an absurdity. It's like saying we're going to ban all the gasoline cars from the year 1835. And you'd say to yourself, well, Dan, that's a neat trick because, I mean, that's not much of a ban because, well, okay. But you know what's fun? And this is where it gets intriguing. Like, this is the time radio concept in time travel. What if you can't travel physically back in time, but you can send a message somehow? Maybe, you know, to some radio receiver in the past. Maybe it's an ESP message and some type of weird, I don't know, butterfly effect bullshit. But what if you can send a message, just a message, not a person, backwards in time, and you were to convince a legislator in the United States Congress in the year 1832 to ban gasoline cars, and some mofo, I don't know, maybe it's Davy Crockett, says to you, excuse me, sir, what in the actual F is a gasoline car? And the very moment you pass that law, the black market starts making one. And so the next thing you ban are computers. And then you ban the internet. You ban proton cannons. You ban faster than light travel. Before Einstein is born. Yeah. That's how you do it, baby. If you believe that the black market will provide, and I mean, this is an absurdity, of course. I believe the black market will provide. So if there are gasoline cars from the year 2035, I too agree the ban is no longer realistic. Next headline. LVMH sales miss a clear negative for luxury, sparking global growth concerns. We've been in a papered over global depression since at least 2009, thank you very much. Orange juice prices near record highs amid fears of worst Florida harvest in a century. They really mean forever. When they say 100 years, that's a rule of thumb. Anyways, these three conditions must be met before silver surges like gold home. Yeah, silver's suppressed. Super stressed bond volatility, oh my god. Gold, the untouchable asset defying gravity. Like my package. Satellite constellation projects ready to take off, after we get the gasoline cars from the year 2035, Bo Blimp Doc. pro-Sharia law protests are becoming a regular thing in Germany. Pro-Sharia law protests. This is obviously divide and conquer bullshit. You buy into it as much as you want to. After locking up thousands for weed possession, Kamala Harris patronizes black men in pot pandering scheme. People are stupid. Synthetic versus natural caffeine and how each may affect aging. Let's stop here for some Sovietology. They haven't quite pulled the trigger yet, but they've done things along these lines. And I think they have been very deep. As far as military psychological warfare goes, there have been many layers to this thing they do that I'm about to describe. Let's say there's something that might not be available soon. Maybe it's some sort of a treatment for your dog. Maybe it's some type of ingredient that goes into most of your food. Who knows what it is? Well, the thing is, they're not going to tell you because you live in a neo-Stalinist hellhole. They're not going to tell you we're about to run out of this. But what they will do is start pushing a campaign telling you that whatever it is, it's bad for you. You know? Oh, you shouldn't eat meat. It's bad for you. If you want to do a Norman Borlaug, poison the world, give everybody a Snickers bar bullshit, you got to tell people not to eat meat. You know? And I've noticed in recent months this huge, gigantic, multi-layered campaign. I'll call it the sobriety campaign. It deals with both marijuana and alcohol and coffee and caffeine. And what all these things have in common is that they are related to commodities. Commodities that, whether you like it or not, as the dollar collapses, and that is the best case scenario, the vaporization, the collapse of the dollar, despite all the happy pandering thinking, that is the best case scenario. As the dollar collapses, a lot of things that used to be cheap or relatively stable vis-a-vis inflation are gonna get a lot more expensive. You've already experienced a little of this. You ain't seen nothing yet. And what makes it worse is there's no slack, okay? When they made this a globalist, just-in-time hellhole, let me explain what that means. There is no slack. Once the dollar starts collapsing big time, it's not so much that the cheeseburger is going to be worth $500,000. You could have $1 billion. There won't be a fucking cheeseburger. There's no slack. And so, and again, like I've said, when you're looking at stories, for example, about certain types of caffeine being good or bad, or about cows exploding in Texas, oh my God, 18,000 cows exploded, or food processing plants catching fire, or some giant ass fucking container ship getting all sideways gung blasted in the Suez Canal. Before you take these stories seriously, ask yourself a question. If they need to hide logistical failures, for example, like the, you know, what was it, the bridge in Baltimore? If they need to hide logistical failures, oh yeah, like the strike. If they need to hide the fact that the system is in collapse, they're going to feed you a lot of Soviet-style bullshit. So I'm not saying the caffeine story is that, but be careful. When you read these stories that look like they're trying to shape what you're going to consume, because they are, and we're going to talk about that next, the thing they're sneaking into your head isn't the idea that synthetic caffeine might be bad for you. It might actually be bad for you. The thing they're slipping into your head is that they are an authority. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. As morale hits rock bottom, UK police exodus throws planned expansion into disarray, nyob. Berlin freezes school budgets while allocating billions for migrant housing. Divide and conquer. FEMA still paying $9,000 for COVID funerals. Billions on pandemic payouts, but there's no money for North Carolina. Lots of money for fake stuff. No money for real stuff. That sounds very Soviet to me. Canada expels 6 Indian diplomats for alleged involvement in murder of Sikh separatists. Wow, we're going to be going to war with the guys that run the hotel and the 7-Eleven. Racist. Home prep guide. What you need to last 2 weeks in an emergency. Okay, I've told you in my podcast that 6 months of food is optimistic at this point. 2 weeks. You'll last long enough to be somebody's lunch. Next headline. 73% of Mexicans own a dog. 72% of Mexicans own a taco stand. Autism spectrum disorder. Symptoms, causes, treatments, and natural approaches. Blah, blah, blah. Those are your headlines as of roughly 4:20 Boblimpdoc AM Pacific Standard Time from ZeroHedge.com. And I read on, my frunglies, I read on. So we've talked about gun control in the past, and it's a dead horse. I've beaten it so many times, I don't like talking about it. In 2009, just after Obama was elected, I have to admit to something. I was one of those people, despite thinking I was logical, here I was, this brilliantly logical, mathematical software engineer at the peak of his career. And in 2009, I got suckered like a whole bunch of other people. I got suckered to lie to my wife, okay, because she was very anti-gun and just didn't really want to have that conversation. So I kind of was deceptive. I kind of lied. I went out and bought a gun. And I bought a gun because, you know, Glenn Beck and others, and I wasn't even into Alex Jones yet. I thought, oh, he's a kook, right? He's a kook. But I went out and bought a gun because, you know, Glenn Beck and I think Rush Limbaugh was still alive, and a whole bunch of people were saying, oh boy, that Obama's going to take all your guns away. Yeah. But that never happened. In fact, I personally experienced an explosion of ownership, specifically of the Black Rifle, the AR model. Prior to 2009, I knew a few people with ARs. After 2009, it was like every other person I knew, oh, hey, Dan, you want to look at my AR? Even people who call themselves Democrats. Hey, Dan, you want to look at my AR? Hey, Dan, come down to my basement. I'm going to show you my AR and my banana clip, you know. And the banana clip thing, come on, you know where that comes from. Yeah, I got suckered in 2009. I got suckered like a lot of people. Obama's going to take your guns, go buy more guns. But what did we do with these guns? Did we sign up on a website called Promise Keepers? Ironically named. What did we do? Did we go to the Occupy Wall Street mindfuck? Did we participate in the whole Tea Party rebellion bullshit? What in actual fuck did anybody do after they went to Cabela's in 2009 and bought whatever piece of metal they did and shit ton of ammo they did, 9mm 22LR, whatever, 5.56, 7.62 by 39, 357 is one of my favorites. What did we do? And again, I have to repeat this. I don't advocate violence. I don't advocate being crazy. But there is a point in every creature's life where it is a question, do you want to live or die? And if you're asking, does it get easier to win back your dignity after it's all gone? The answer is no. At some point, you're going to have to fight for it if you care about it. But it doesn't get easier. It gets harder. A lot harder. So there's this Michael Moore thing where he's proposing a 28th Amendment. And I saw this on social media. And it could be bullshit. Like, I haven't dug deep. If you come back to me with an email saying, Dan, I Snopes'd it, I Wikipedia'd it, I checked it, it's bullshit. Guess what? I am freely admitting that this information might not be true. I did not fully vet it. It might not be true. But it's this ridiculous statement about what he wants to have happen. Okay, if whatever, Kamala, Harry Balls is elected. If Harry Balls is elected, this is what Michael Moore wants to, you know, have happen. And it's absurd. It's absurd. If any of this happened, this crooked neo-Stalinist hellhole that is teetering on multiple aneurysms and strokes would immediately go into, what is that called, a myocardial infarct. It would immediately go into an MI and keel over, grab its chest, and be done. This could never happen. There are not the resources to do this. There are not the qualified people to do this. Even if people were mostly willing to hand over their guns, there simply is no feasible way of doing this. And if you come back to me and say, well, they'll do it slowly, Dan, they'll do it over decades, you're seeing something I'm not seeing, okay? And I've been a few places in the last decade, pal. Okay, I'm seeing decay. I don't see decades or centuries of extra time. This is not a fantasy movie like Idiocracy where you get 500 years of stupid. At some point, this Rube Goldberg paradise is going to come tumbling down, and it's not decades away. So none of the stuff that people like Michael Moore talk about could ever happen. You're not going to collect all the guns, even if you believe morally that it's the right thing to do. It is not logistically feasible. If you come back to me and say, well, look what Australia did. Look what Australia did. Look what Great Britain did. Look what these countries have gone through the control of personal weapons through cycles of centuries and millennia. They've been down this road so many times, they would just assume flip you off for being stupid. They know exactly where they buried the guns, and the difference between a Frenchman burying a submachine gun and a guy going to Cabela's and going to the range once a week, but never training at a squad level, never training at a platoon level, not really knowing how to tactically work with a team, the difference between that motherfucker and the European that buries his gun is slim to none. Sorry. Because I don't see a fucking difference. It's like that meme of the two pictures. Show me the difference. The Cabela's guy sitting on his guns or the European who buried them in the vineyard. At some point, you have to dig them up. At some point, you have to stop sitting on them. And I can't tell you when, but I can tell you it's not going to get easier from here. Sorry. And the actual truth is, I don't think people have to do one fucking thing at this point. It would be counterproductive. I think the system is falling apart. You know, people use the term collapsitarian, whatever. These terms get thrown around to control people. You can call me a collapsitarian. I call myself simply a realist. You know, structures come into existence, and if there isn't the energy or resources to maintain the structures, over time, structures fall apart. There's something called the Poisson curve, and I'm going to dumb it down for everybody. Enough time, enough complexity, everything falls apart. Every empire, every kingdom. If you're an atheist, you should be okay with this. You should be absolutely okay with this. If you're a Christian, you should be okay with this. There's nothing in this muddy, dirty, not Eden, not the kingdom, not heaven world. There's nothing here that lasts, my fellow Christians. Nothing. No nations, no kings, no empires. None of it. If you've read the Bible from beginning to end, you know everything about this place turns to dust. And even though there might be a millennium kingdom someplace off in the future, Christian, that's not where you're at right now, though. Sorry. This is the dusty, dirty place. This is the place where stupid, hairless monkeys stack piles of shit. That's where you're at. Welcome to here. And in that reality, there are not the resources to do the crazy Michael Moore bullshit that people get scared of. Next topic. Dan, I can't believe you. I can. It's like reading this thing about... it's like reading this thing about India spending $109 billion on infrastructure. And I'm thinking to myself, do people understand that even though $109 billion sounds like a lot, the United States is adding $1 trillion in debt almost every 3 months now. Think on this for a second. Meditate on it. It's almost every 90 days we're adding $1 trillion. $109 billion isn't what we think it is, and pretty soon we're going to know this. And so if someone says, we've got a $1 trillion infrastructure project, I'm translating, okay, that's $10 billion. In the year 2000. That's where we're headed very soon. And $10 billion in the year 2000, it gets you some stuff. It maybe builds a bridge or two. It doesn't really do as much as you think it does, though. You know? And that's optimistic. When this thing blows out, and it will, and when it blows out rapidly, and it's gonna, you're not gonna get months and months and months of wheelbarrows and bread like it's Weimar Germany. There is no slack. In the 1930s, one barrel of oil got you roughly 70. Today, one gets you maybe 3 or 4. No, it's not the same world, my friends. It's just in time, globalist hellhole, shit will run out faster than you can realize. And then you'll find out that for things that do not exist, it's really very simple but hard to understand. There is no price for things that don't exist. You can offer 10 billion bucks. I want to ride. Okay, let's say you had $20 billion. Could you pay anybody on planet Earth for a flight to the nearest star if you had 10 billion? And you know, you think, oh, maybe, but no. For things that don't exist or can't be done, there is no amount of money, and a lot of people are going to learn that very soon. And so the good news is, it's not going to be like Zimbabwe or like Weimar. It's not going to be months and months and months of wheelbarrows. The bad news is, the reason why that's true is, we're going to go from hyperinflation to famine faster than you can, well, it's going to be fast. And then you're going to realize 2 weeks worth of food. Yeah, 2 weeks ain't enough, buddy. 6 months probably ain't enough either. And that's why 73% of Mexicans own a dog. Dan, you're terrible. Okay, whatever. Anyways, we've talked enough about this. I don't want to beat a dead horse. It's like the North Carolina thing. People are focusing on the weather, and the weather is an issue, but I would put it this way. The cost of complexity and the cost of reversing entropy are related. They're connected. And they're also equally unworkable long-term. As we said, Poisson curve, time, complexity, everything fails. Which means when you look at North Carolina, brothers and sisters, as I've said a few times, I'll drink a little bit of water here if that's okay. When you look at North Carolina, it's not just about the weather. It's about whether or not our society, in its current sort of neo-Stalinist corrupt form, is too fragile to weather the storm. And that's what it's about, okay, folks? Yesterday, a seagull pooped on my head. Yesterday, a seagull, a mad, insane seagull, pooped on my head. I was walking around work. They don't have covered areas between buildings. So you walk out in the open. You're naked before God. Yeah, I was walking outside and I had to go to the bathroom because I'd eaten some sort of scrumptious material the night before and my insides were bleeding outside and my colon was filled with some sort of vitriolic acid and my blooped-in material was filling up the toilet bowl with a seeping mess of red brownie waste. And as I cleaned off my skungit pipe and put my pants back on and cleared off the poop stains and the blood stains, I walked outside. And the various folk are wandering about as they do where I work. There's no sense of understanding. And there was a seagull. I didn't see it. I didn't care. Like most of the Glumpton folk, I walked around. I didn't even notice the air. I didn't see the sky. I didn't see why I would die. I didn't see the fly. I didn't say goodbye, but the seagull came on around. It dropped a poop on down. It opened its cloaca and gave me heartbreaker. It opened its cloaca and gave me heartbreaker. Yeah, a seagull pooped on me yesterday. And it's funny because things have gotten better for me. If I haven't talked about it much, it's because all three or four of you that listen to this world-famous podcast, you know, you just don't know. But, yeah, things have gotten better. having a kitchen, having a shower, having a bed, and the space to walk around, I'm not shuffling as much. When I first moved in here, I still shuffled a lot. Why? Because living in that camper, that particular camper, the one that's designed to sit in the bed of a truck, it was a small one, you know, and I'm a big guy. It's not complicated, you know, big man in a little man's jacket. I shuffled a lot in that trailer so I wouldn't spill things, like on a computer I can't replace. So it's better. It's a lot better. And I thought I should mention that. But I was thinking about this, like, maybe I've been, you know, I've been getting, like, for example, I don't like the virtue signal in any form. That includes sobriety signaling. But I haven't smoked a cigarette in more than a month. And I think that's good. It's not, you know, really, it's not because I think cigarettes are bad. It's because I don't have the money, and frankly, it would make it hard to live here, where I'm at right now. The one good thing about the camper in the woods is I could smoke as many cigarettes as I wanted to. That was kind of a bad thing too, but it was a good thing, right? Nobody complained. The coyotes would scream, but they didn't come by. Nobody would stop me, but here I can't really do it. Things have been better. But then, you know, you need that seagull to fly on by and take a big old poop on your head to remind you that one day, memento mori, one day you'll be dead, Fred. One day, not too long in the distant future from me, as my body turns to scumbly sauce and as the various creatures eat away at my bones. One day, it's not too far away, a gray day, a scoundrel's day, with a dark sun beaming on down on my forehead. One day in the distance, in a lonely cave, I will sit alone. I will eat my soup. One day in the distance, in the far distant future, in the year 2035, I will drive a gas-powered car. That's right, one day in the future. But not if seagulls keep pooping on my head, am I right? Next topic. So, what if you can launder deception? Launder things that are fake, the same way that you launder money. What if you can launder people, fake people, the way you launder money? It's like a lot of things these days. When you read an article like on Zero Hedge, and it'll say something like Epstein was killed or Epstein committed suicide. Why is it always A or B? Why is there no C? Why is there no other thing available? Even if they give you three options, there's never going to be four. If they give you five, you can be certain there's not six. They'll ask all kinds of questions about Sandy Hook. They won't ask too many questions about the magical McPoyle plot against Trump back in what? Was it July, Bo Blimp Doc? The magical plot against Trump, you know? Yeah, why is it like that? You see Alex Jones, and I think the year is like, what, 2012 or something? You see Alex Jones debating some English fool on CNN regarding gun control. I don't care who the fool is. And Jones himself looks crazy. He looks batshit crazy. His face is red. He's sitting on a high chair. He looks like Stumpy McGibbons. And you could say to yourself, well, was the purpose to make Alex Jones look dumb? Was the purpose to make people who have his belief system look stupid? But what if that's not the purpose? What if the real purpose is to introduce the idea that Alex Jones is real and he represents the opposition? He represents the border of what some call the Overton window. I prefer to call it paddock, not a window. You know, where you keep sheep. What if the purpose isn't about making fun of gun control freaks? What if, or rather making fun of people who believe in owning guns? What if the purpose is in fact to make you believe that Alex Jones is real? You're allowed to enter a room. The room has writing on the wall that can only be read with black light. If you turn on the black light to read the writing, the light in the room turns on, so you can't read it. If you turn off the light so you can read the black light writing, the black light turns off. We can have discussions about the wiring in the room, and we can even have conversations about the teleology, the purpose of the room. But we can't and don't have any real basis for a conversation about what justifies the room as a real place or as a thing, as worthy of inspection, beyond that of a prisoner inspecting their cell. When you look at Alex Jones debating some English dude on CNN in the year 2012, and I think it was 2012, it could have been 2011 or 13, but I think it was 2012. When you think of something like that, think of Alex Jones as a bar on your cell door. So there's this documentary series called The Men Who Stare at Goats. And there's a movie based on it. I think it came out in 2009. Ewan McGregor was in it. He essentially played John Ronson's character. And the documentary and the movie are not the same. I recommend the documentary. It's really a three-part miniseries. And it's on YouTube if you can find it. I think it's like Crazy Leaders of the World, The Men Who Stare at Goats. And, you know, find it on YouTube if you can. Between that three-part miniseries and the film Mirage Men, which is another documentary, a great one, these are two great artifacts if you want to explore the topic of military psychological warfare. These are not sufficient. There are lots of resources to go deeper. If you lived through 2020 in a city and your eyes were open, and I just don't mean your eyes, but I think I mean your third eye too. If you were intuitive and you were in a city and you lived in a city in 2020, then you experienced military psychological warfare, probably. You did. I know I did. I took video of it, so I don't need to pretend I hallucinated, unless, of course, it's like Videodrome and my hallucinations manifest as an MP4 file. In the documentary series, The Men Who Stare at Goats, in the very first episode, you're introduced to this conundrum. There's a guy, Michael Achanis, who supposedly could stop the heart of a goat, but John meets with Colonel John Alexander, and John Alexander looks all crookedly at him with his weird eyes, and he says, "No, surely you mean Guy Savelli." And when you're introduced to Guy Savelli, he's a character. Like, the person that plays Guy Savelli in the movie, the fictional movie, The Men Who Stare at Goats, does a really good job because he's that implausible. He's that ridiculous. It's hard to believe that Guy Savelli, at this point in my life, is a real person. But when you look at these types of artifacts of culture and media and understand it is curated, okay? I used to think that John Ronson was one of these examples of how the system still kind of works. I don't believe any of that any longer. There is nothing that you're exposed to in terms of the news, and this includes the alt news, that isn't in some form curated. It doesn't mean it's some big ornate system of control. It's not that fucking complicated, dildo head. It's mostly about selections. Selecting who gets to be heard, who doesn't get to be heard. That's it. It's kind of like the Federal Reserve. The reason why I call it neo-Stalinist hellhole is because of instead of picking the price of every product, we simply pick one number, and that is the value of your work. That's how a neo-Stalinist hellhole works. We don't go around with the KGB and shoot everybody in the head. In fact, you know, this is where old Noam Chomsky versus current Noam Chomsky is worth looking at. You know, looking at the book Manufacturing Consent, but other stuff he wrote. That's not how our system works. That's not how it works at all. But it does control reach. It does prevent certain people from being heard. There have been in the past blacklists, and guess what? Blacklists never went away. They just morphed into a digital list, a table, and a database. And this is a bit of a ramble. But if you think of something like a documentary where you're introduced to a character, and let's just call the character Bob, and Bob is talking about aliens, your first reaction might be, well, they're trying to form the narrative on aliens. But what if the truth is they just want to introduce you to Bob? And they want to, when you're done watching that stupid fucking movie, they don't give a fuck if you believe in aliens or not. But they do want you to believe Bob is real. They do want that. They want you to believe Bob is a real person. It's a lot like laundering money, isn't it? And that's, you know, when I use the term sheep dipping, for example. Sheep dipping, hold on a second. My phone is going off because it's, you know, morning alarm time. Gosh, stop it. Stop it, alarm. Yeah, sorry about that. I usually wake up at 5. When you think about sheep dipping, and this is the metaphysics of sheep dipping, it's a process of taking a human being, and I don't care who this human being is. It could be Mary, it could be Anne, it could be Michael. These could be their real names. But after the process of laundering that person, they're not Mary, now they're Elizabeth. Or maybe they were Mary, but now they're John. And now they walk around in some sort of prosthetic to make you believe they became John. Yeah, that's happening too, friends. A lot of you who are getting suckered by the divide and conquer haven't really broached the possibility that the trans thing is the ultimate grift. And it's not that hard to pretend that you're going to transition. You never actually have to transition. Like, you can just sort of circle the drain and think about it for decades, right? Because that decision's a big one. It's sort of like that Rick and Morty episode where Rick is offered the chance, excuse me, Morty is offered the chance to be a Knight of the Sun, but then he finds out it involves cutting off his penis, and that's not so cool, you know? I think a lot of these folks are circling the drain around it, but very, very few of them are so committed that they're going to go through with surgery, because that's something you can't take back. Literally, figuratively. They can tell you that science is progressing and in a few years we'll be able to 3D print a new body every day. You can believe that if you want to. It's also an idea they introduce. They introduce an idea that you don't see coming. They introduce an idea that you don't want to, for example, admit could be false. And that is, they don't really care what your opinion is about the whole issue of being trans. Let me just shock you. They don't give a fuck. They don't care if you're pro or anti. They don't give a fuck. But here's what they want. They want you to believe it's real. They don't care if you think the COVID came from a lab or from, you know, some sort of wet market, or it came off the butt scab of some crazy ass, I don't know, maybe some type of weird animal in Malaysia. They don't care. They don't care if you think that the COVID came from a lab in the United States. They don't care if you think that aliens gave us the COVID. But here's what's critical. They want you to talk about the fucking COVID. Just like I am. They want you to think it's a real thing. If you come out with the other position, if it's the sixth position, the seventh position, the position that's outside of the Overton packet, paddock, you know, outside of the Overton paddock, the Overton fence line. If you come out with a position that's outside the line, the sheepdogs will come along and tell you, go back in the fence line. That's crazy. You're crazy. You're talking crazy. Yeah. Kind of like the assassination attempt. Almost immediately, day one, after that great Iwo Jima-style photo started floating around, everybody was 100% convinced that everything they saw was real. And compare and contrast this shit with Sandy Hook. Really. Compare and contrast this bullshit with Sandy Hook. And how many frickin' years and years people spent deconstructing that. But somehow, we need to be 100% convinced that the government version of the story is true, that the thing really happened. And then the debate is, did they know? Didn't they know? Is the CIA trying to kill Trump? The discussion is never, why does this look so fucking fake? But Dan, how can they fake blood? How can they fake bullets? I don't know, man. When I was 7 years old, I saw a Millennium Falcon travel faster than light. They can fake a lot of shit, bro. They can fake a lot, okay? I've seen the grainy pictures of people dancing on the moon. They can fake a lot. So if you come back to me and say, well, Dan, they can't possibly fake it, all I can say is, you lost me. We have no basis to go further. If your theory is they can't fake an assassination, I just gotta say you're crazy. They can easily fake it. In fact, the entire maneuver that Trump performed was well orchestrated. But if you want me to believe a McPoyle nearly killed Trump, no, sorry. That's the Occam's razor side that you're on that I think is wrong. But hey, whatever. The point is, they don't care if you think the McPoyle was hired by the CIA. They don't care if you think the McPoyle was hired by Kamala or Hillary Clinton. They don't care if you think it's a random McPoyle who just doesn't like Trump. But what they want you to be clear on is that the assassination attempt itself was real. That's how you launder. That's how you sheep dip. That's how you introduce a fake idea, a fake event. The surface is not relevant. They don't really care which side of the race issue you're on. They really don't. But as long as we're all angry at each other and trying to kill each other, that makes them quite happy. They don't care. They're probably more racist than the racist, but here's the truth of it. They talk it up, even if it's not a big deal, because it keeps us talking about it, and it keeps us away, basically keeps us away from asking the right questions. You know, the questions we should be asking. So you can launder people. You can launder people exactly the same way you launder money. So whether it's Alex Jones, Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, Lex Friedman, that crazy Canadian self-help guru who tells people to clean the rooms, the list is long. And I talk about alt people a little bit more because it's the alt people where a friend will come back, Dan, I watched this guy on YouTube. Your friend Dan is banned from YouTube. I'm banned. I'm permanently banned. There is no way by which I can create a channel that will last more than 2 weeks. And I've tried. So when you come back to me and say, well, Dan, my edgelord friend has this really hot take on the Ukraine, it's curated, buddy. You know, it doesn't mean your friend is fake. Some of these people, maybe even most of them, are quite real. But the YouTube experience is curated. Twitter is curated. Every site you go to is curated. And that's just a nice way of saying censored. And what you're going to see is what they want you to see. It's why the most important question you can ask is not whether or not the story is true. Sometimes these stories are true, sometimes they're fake. The question you should ask is different. You should ask, why are they showing this to me now? You know, is there going to be a shortage soon? Oh shit, it has something to do with the port strikes, those commies. You know, are we going to be eating bugs? Oh my God, those cows exploded because the BLM, you know, the food processing plants are catching fire because of China. You know, they're going to feed you a story, and the story itself is not as relevant as why they feed you that particular story. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. It feels great to know my best case is most people's worst case. It feels really good to know that my best case is probably your worst case. If you knew my worst case, you wouldn't be able to sleep at night. If you knew my worst case, you wouldn't be able to go to the bathroom. If you knew my worst case, you'd stop eating toilet paper. You'd stop living in a cave. You'd stop going to raves. I don't know why you would eat toilet paper. Yeah, as Dr. Freckles says, and this is true, this is self-identical and true, it feels great to know that my best case is everybody's worst case. It does. It means that at least on some level, I'm way more prepared for what's coming than most of you are. If I turn out to be completely wrong about my best case and my worst case, then gosh dang it, that's like Christmas Day for me. But when you turn out to be wrong, a lot of you fuckers are going to go through every fucking stage of grieving in 24 fucking hours. And I say 24 hours, in some cases it could be like 24 minutes. Okay? It's terrible. I'm going to say this up front because I need to say it. It's terrible what's going on in Gaza. What the state of Israel has been doing there is absurd and terrible. We are approaching a point where the IDF, the state of Israel, has dropped nearly 10,000 tons of conventional explosives per square mile. If you research Vietnam B-52 arc light strikes, they never ever reached that density. And if you come back to me and say, well, Dan, they didn't just distribute it, they dropped them all in a couple places, that doesn't make it better, bro. That makes it more absurd and crazy. It's insane and crazy that inland hurricane, because that's what it was, that hit North Carolina. It's crazy. If you look at pictures, it looks like they were hit by a bomb. The Baltimore Bridge falling, crazy. Everywhere you look, Sri Lanka, Haiti, there's countries they don't talk about in the news because they've gone off the radar. Nobody's supposed to talk about them because essentially they've descended into hell. It's crazy. Pictures coming out of South Africa look crazy. So understand, before I keep going, understand what I'm saying. It's terrible what the people of North Carolina are going through. But they are beginning to understand what it is I'm talking about. There's a point, and I can't tell you we're there yet, but I think we're close. There's a point at which a government, which is a grift, it's a con. There's a point at which the con no longer has the resources to keep the grift going. And we're almost there, friends. And when the dollar collapses, and it's gonna, something like North Carolina is gonna be worse because no one's gonna have any resources to help. I'm reading these great stories about folks, you know, the AP Hill Foundation, you know, giving out generators and money, and God bless them. God bless the people helping. But, you know, shocker, a time is coming where that's probably not going to happen because the people giving out the generators are going to be using them themselves or using them to get food or for some other reason, or they're just going to get ripped off the train. Or the train itself ain't gonna go nowhere because the trestle bridge is down and ain't nobody gonna rebuild it. Yeah, you need to meditate on a future where if a bridge goes down that crosses a river, there's probably not gonna be another bridge. Not for a long time. Think on that. Think on what we did to Iraq in 1991, what we did to Iraq in 2003. Think of all the blowed up bridges and all the blowed up generator facilities, all the crap we blowed up because we're fighting that evil Saddam. Americans are going to experience that in a different way. And it won't be enemies blowing shit up. It'll be the fact that this is a crooked neo-Stalinist hellhole and nothing we build lasts. Nothing lasts. All of this stuff is going to turn to shit. So it won't take any bombs, it won't take any bullets. You don't have to form the X-ray squad. My best case is your worst case. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Voting is not rebellion. It's literally the opposite. Yeah, you already know this. I don't know. I told you guys about 6 months ago that a lot of the liberty freaks and quote-unquote anarchists would start changing their backgrounds to Papa Blump and taking on the pose of being a mega blumper. And, you know, obviously I was right. And it's not like it's a super great prediction. You know, there's tons of paid trolls on Twitter. The idea that these trolls would switch their characteristics, switch their stripes, you know, and support the mega trend is, you know, it's expected. And right now, a lot of those trolls, paid trolls, and fake accounts are proposing that if you're a real libertarian or a real anarchist, you gotta vote. If you don't vote, the bad guys will win. If you don't vote, we're never gonna have hope again. If you don't vote, we won't have money and jobs. And that's how it gets sold. I even got that pitch a month ago. at my workplace. I don't want to say more, but I got the pitch. If X wins, and I don't want to say who X is, we will get more money. And it was one of those moments, like in 2010, when that person at Harborview told me, Dan, you know, this isn't a sexy job, but you'll never lose the job. And it was funny because it was a really good job, but the one thing the hiring manager told me during the interview that turned me off was the idea that nobody could lose the job. Do you understand what I just said? Like, this was a really good job. This was a six-figure job. If I'd stayed at that stupid job at Harborview, I'd probably be making well into the 300s today. I mean, I would be a soulless piece of shit, and I would probably be on my 10th booster. Whether it's saline or poison, it doesn't matter. I would probably been one of those who pushed the COVID bullshit because, again, you know, cognitive dissonance is a motherfucker. But the most crooked thing that he thought was a good thing, he thought his best case was a best case. The crooked thing he said was, well, Dan, you'll always have a job. And I thought, that's crooked. So when I hear people saying things like, if this person wins, there'll be more money for this. And I don't care if it's a mega head. I don't care if it's a camel, a blue person. I don't care if it's Oliver Twist, Harry Balls. I don't care. When somebody comes back to me and says, if this person wins, you'll get more money. And what's really sad is that this goes to why I've said in the past, if you want an honest system of voting, it can't be anonymous. It can't be. Because all of your arguments for why it's anonymous, oh, people will buy votes. Oh, been there, done that. We've done all the things that supposedly anonymous voting prevents. So let's just get beyond it. Get beyond anonymous. If you get beyond anonymous voting, at least you can account for it. At least you take ownership formally. And frankly, everybody knows who you're going to vote for. If you're sticking Trump signs up in your front yard, well, they don't know who I'm voting for city council. If you're voting for a jerk for city council, your neighbors probably have a right to know. But the fact is, if voting did work, if voting, if the Electoral College, if your crooked neo-Stalinist constitution, Bill of Rights, lipstick on a pig bullshit actually worked, life in America would be worse than Black Mirror. That's the truth. At this point, we would be living in something far worse than what we have, if it actually worked. It doesn't, you know. Dan, does that mean you want dictatorship? No, that means I don't want anybody to be sovereign over me except for God. Okay, that's it. No man, no institution, no law. We'll play pretend. I'll pull over if I don't want to get into a gunfight. If you flash me your badge, I'll play pretend like every other player. Everybody else, all the players, Alex Jones, me, we'll play pretend. But if you want me to tell you that there's a sovereign over me other than God, the answer is no. Period. Next topic. So yeah, voting is not rebellion. So there was an article I read about a Georgia sheriff, and I'm not going to read the article because it's just sort of dumb. I'm going to gloss it over a little bit. We'll talk about it briefly, but this Georgia sheriff supposedly called in backup because the Burger King got his order wrong. He ordered a double stack, triple stack with double cooked bacon and extra mayo. Instead, he got a half stack with a bleak stack and half a bacon with crumbly crumbly. So we called in the SWAT team and the, what do they call those armored cars now? The frickin' MRAP. He called in the MRAP and the SWAT team. He called in those hobos with a helicopter from Philadelphia, 1985, if you know, you know. And so the helicopter came down to Philly with some explosive to drop on the roof of that Burger King because the sheriff didn't get his double stack, triple stack, quad stack with double cheese, triple cheese, and blood curdled blood sauce on tomato and rye. And so the helicopter came in all the way from Philadelphia. It had a triple stack of, you know, TNT to drop on the roof. It dropped it on the roof of that Burger King, and it was like Move 1985. The place exploded. People ran for shelter. but the sheriff got his double stack, triple stack. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, I don't know why, but if you do, that's awesome. Listen to the disclaimer before you donate. You need to take care of your food, water, shelter first. If you need to pay rent, if you need to buy food, if you need to take care of the things you need, do that first before you ever donate to anybody. You don't owe me anything. If you're setting aside extra food, and I think that's okay. That's not hoarding. That's common sense at this point. If you're setting aside extra food, maybe 6 months worth, because like I said, and I keep saying, 6 months worth, you're an optimist. Because you're setting aside 6 months worth of food, because, you know, my best case is your worst case, right? If you're setting aside 6 months worth of food, and you have a dog or a cat, or a bat or a rat, or a squirrel or a crow, or a parrot, or a mongoose named Jared. If you have a pet and you have 6 months of food for yourself and your family, make sure you got 6 months for your pet unless you intend to eat it. And remember, it's not the end of the world. These are strange times, and strange times happen throughout history. A lot of people will gaslight you and tell you it's the end of the world. That's wrong. A lot of people will gaslight you and tell you everything's going to be perfect forever. Francis Fukuyama endism. That's also a gaslight. That's bullshit. The reality is history has ups and downs just like life. And this is not such a great time for a lot of people. That's the truth. And it could get a lot worse. It probably will. Especially for people in the United States, since we've been more or less doing okay as the world crumbles around us. That's going to come home. That's coming home pretty soon. I think that North Carolina, the people of North Carolina and Florida and some other places are starting to get a vision of what that looks like. You know, South Chicago. Pretty much every city now. Any city. They're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel as it approaches. But it's crazy as things are, and as crazier as they're going to get, and it's not going to be linear, and it's not going to be pleasant, it's not the end of the world. And right now, you can still do stuff. You can still go to a movie. You can still go dancing with your girlfriend or boyfriend. There's stuff you can still do. So before you donate to my podcast, you know, treat yourself. Give yourself a break. Don't wake up in some cave 10 years from now wearing clothes that are falling apart and eating what's left of a rat from last night. Don't wake up in that cave and say to yourself, well, gee, wish, I should have done a woulda, because then my money was worthless anyways. I'm not saying blow your money. I'm not saying go into debt. But if you've taken care of the things you need and you've done some rational prepping, there's another type of prepping you can do right now, and that is preparing your mind. And one way to prepare your mind is to give yourself a fucking break. Because if you operate with your anus tight, you're going to die. Okay, the thing that's going to kill you won't be the lack of food. It won't be the lack of water. It won't even be the crazy people from Grumpton Sector chasing you. It'll be the fact that you lose it psychologically. So don't lose it. And one way to avoid that is right now to recognize reality, and right now recognize that you can still live a quasi-normal life and you can still do something that would be fun. So do it. If there are people in your life that need help, help them before you donate to some random person on the internet. Help them first. Okay? Help these real people. I'm not saying everybody on the web is a grifter, but there are a lot of them. And guess what? I could be a grifter too. I could be stealing your time and your money. Stealing your time because you're listening to this shit. Stealing your money because you feel sad and so you gotta donate, right? Before you give your money to anybody on the World Wide Web, look around your community. Look around your family and friends. If someone you know genuinely needs help, help them first. But if you've done all these things, the needs and the wants, and you now live on a yacht somewhere in the Indian Ocean, surrounded by pirates and meta-pirates that hunt pirates. If you have everything you need and want and a pile of gold and you're just wondering what to do, you can send me as much money as you want to. I'll buy a house. I will take care of food, water, shelter, and I'll also try to be happy. I will take the advice that I try to provide. That's what I'll do. That's my great mystery. I joke about, you know, buying cocaine and going to the casino, but even if that were true, if that's my best life, if that's my fuck it list, if that's my reaching the zenith before I get knocked out of the sky like an exploding star, if that's my shaking the fist against the dying of the light, so be it, right? Anywho, there's a PayPal link. Peter Thiel, yeah, he's probably evil, but this is my only option right now. If you want to send me anything else, any other way, you can email me. But the truth is, my mail gets opened, and so sending me cash through the mail is not a good idea. You know, mail's not been reliable to get old Dan, and I don't think I'm special, so. It's Wednesday. If you can believe it, it's Wednesday, October the 16th, 2024. It's 5:26 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula, not far from Splington Town, not far from the old harbor, not far from the Salish Sea, where old freaks and monsters live. Not far from the Pacific Ocean that's slowly dying. Not far from hope, not far from peace, not far from war, not far from seagulls, and they poop on you. Have a great rest of your day.